good to have Brother and Sister Coles with us tonight, isn't it? Amen. Praise God. They brought peanut brittle with them out in the foyer. Everyone who wants to indulge, there's peanut brittle out there. Help them with their church.
I'd rather have Jesus down in my soul than to own this world with its riches untold. For this life will vanish, it fades and is gone.
Oh, son.
it will vanish. Oh, yes, it fades. Oh, and it is gone. Oh, but in my Jesus. Oh, yes, Lord. Oh, Jesus. Oh, yes, I but rather. Oh, have Jesus. Oh, yes, down in my soul than to all this world. Oh, yes, with its riches.
Oh, I will.
the mountains rock or cross that stormy sea. And when I hear your voice, Lord, no matter how I feel, I will lay my burden down and I will follow thee. Oh, and I will. Oh, I will follow thee. Or the mountains rock or cross that stormy sea. And when I hear your voice, Lord, no matter.
The Lord. All right. It's good to have Sister Melissa here too, from Marissa, I mean, from Batesville. And it's one of the McClinahan girls from Houston there, I believe. Kaylor, is that right? All right. Praise the Lord.
In 6 weeks, and I never dreamed 6 weeks ago what I was headed for. I don't want to use the word pride or the word proud, but maybe the word comfort, because I always took comfort in being blessed with good health. I used to think, well, I'll just grow old and die and never have any health problems, but then 3 years ago I had this blood clot, and 7 years ago when I had my cataract surgery, this lady said, you know, you really have good blood pressure. And I said, you mean for somebody your age, my age? And she said, there's a lot of young people that would like to have your blood pressure. So anyway, 5 weeks ago this past Wednesday, I started having this soreness in the back of my head, and it wasn't too uncomfortable, but at night there were shooting, throbbing pains in the side of my head, and again, it wasn't too uncomfortable. And then Thursday and Friday, some discomfort, but it wasn't unbearable. But by Saturday, it had become excruciating, and it was like that for 6 days. I mean, if I remember correctly, Brother Smith said one time that he was having such pain in his shoulder, and it kept lingering, that he could almost understand how somebody in pain would just consider ending it all, you know. And I thought, my goodness, if I went through pain 2 months like I went for 6 days, I might just consider ending. I mean, I don't mean to be smart, but I tell you, it was unbearable. And I would lay down at night, and it was in the top of my head, the left side of my head, and my ear, left ear, and my left side of my face, and the left side of my neck. And I would lay down at night, and I couldn't get any rest. And I thought, well, I can't go to sleep. I might as well sit up in the recliner. And I'd sit up in the recliner for 2 or 3 hours, and I couldn't go to sleep. And finally, I'd go back to bed and maybe sleep some. But the pain was so excruciating. And so I went to the doctor on Monday, and he said, you've got the high blood pressure in the highest stage. And this came as a shock to me, because 7 years ago when I had cataract surgery, they said my blood pressure was so excellent that it just came as a shock to me when he said I had sky-high blood pressure. So they put me on pain pills and blood pressure medicine. But for 4 days after I got on the pain pills, the pain was just as intense as ever. So finally, I called the doctor's office. I said, can't you give me something stronger? This is not helping. And so she said, well, when you take one of these prescription pain pills, take a couple of over-the-counter pain pills with it. And I don't know if it was just time for the pain to run its course or not, but then it began to get a lot better. And, of course, ever since then, I've had some. This week has been less discomfort than any time in the last 5 weeks. But last Sunday, my neck and side of my head was too sore to drive down here. But I'm thankful I made it today. And so, Brother Michael Smith called me Thursday. I said, well, I figured y'all about giving up on me. He said, no, we realize you've been sick. I guess I was about to give up on myself. But I appreciated him calling and giving me encouragement. And so somebody said, inside every old person is a young person wondering what happened. So I guess inside every sick person is a well person that wonders what happened. But and you know, time changes things. And I've always been so healthy that it just came as a shock. And so anyway, I'm just glad I was able to make it. And you know, at first, after being out 6 weeks, I almost seemed like I was among strangers coming in here, but you get acclimated to your family, and this is my family, so didn't take long to feel at home. But anyway, thankful that I came through this. I feel like I've been through the ringer in the last 6 weeks, but feeling much better now and glad to be here tonight.
Everybody remember, next Sunday at 2 a.m. in the morning, daylight saving time is over. It falls back the time. So that's when you can come to church and get here an hour early.
Sister Crow reminded us last Wednesday night that when we have lulls, sometimes it's maybe it's time to say something. So maybe it was too long a lull, but anyway, I'm thankful that I'm in church today, and I listened to a guy talk about the Quakers, and he was explaining to this girl about how they had church. They come in church service and just sit there and watch each other to see if maybe God would move on somebody. And if God didn't move, then they just sat there and watched each other. And I thought, we're not Quakers, so I don't, I want to say how thankful I am to be among a people that's searching the scriptures and searching for the Lord. You know, even tonight, you know, I know people, we're filling out after this Spirit of God, and we welcome God. And I know I just know that among this people that I feel comfortable. I know when we come to church, we have presented ourselves to the Lord, and we're here in his house, but I guess you can miss him too, you know, just being here. We have to at least be willing to. I remember one time Brother Tucker mentioned one time we was kind of late starting service, and somebody might have been complaining, I don't remember, but he was saying the people all fellowship and talking, and he said, somebody said about, you know, church, time for church, and he said, we've already started, you know. We might not have started the music or nothing, but, you know, if we are the church, you know, and when we meet together, maybe the music hadn't started, but we've started, you know, we're fellowshipping, and so we have to, and I appreciate that, you know, we have to leave room, you know, for error. Sometimes we could err, and, you know, waiting too long, and sometimes maybe jumping up too fast. I'm guilty of that. I remember, I hate to say this, but anyway, I was, Brother Tucker had a service one time, and we had service, and he explained, you know, I remember well now, but anyway, apparently I didn't hear him too good, but he was saying, you know, how to have church service. Sometimes you need to wait on the Lord. Don't be so quick to jump up. But we had a lot of young people, and people were quick to jump on the feet. You know, they didn't really wait very long to see what was going to happen, or what, you know, feel out after the Lord, like we was talking about. And this is during the day service. So the night service, he kind of, I don't remember if he said, well, we're going to try this out tonight. But anyway, he did. And that night service, you know, we had a song service, and then, you know, we had a few people that was noted to be quick on their feet, and we had one first that jumped up and, you know, testified, talked, and I can't believe it, but I was right behind him, you know, second person, you know, and he kind of brought that to our attention, you know. He said, see, you know, that's what I was talking about. So anyway, that's part of our training, and we have to be trained. I want to know, even though, you know, like I said, with that room for error. So in serving God, you know, we may make errors, but the bottom line is to at least try to find God, you know, even in making an error or two. But and like someone was talking about being, you know, in this, we do a lot of work for God, a lot of activities going on. But the bottom line, we want to be saved. You know, when Brother Smith was reading the scripture, we're looking at it, talking about the summer has come, and I'm thinking the summer, the rains will come, or something, and we're not saved. You know, when everything is done, you know, that our summer is about ended here, and spring has come, summer has come, and things have happened, and I want to be saved when it's over. You know, when my work here is done. You know, I want to be one of those justified person. The scripture Brother Smith was reading today about the saints, the graves were open and the saints arose. And I know Brother Lineker gave us all those, was it synonyms? You know, you got just, You got saints. You got upright. He named. I was thinking today when he was reading that about the saints. If you're just, they could have used the same word. The graves was open and the just rose from the grave after his resurrection. So he could have used upright. You know, he named. I don't know how many words it was, but they was all. He's saying that meant the same. You know, in God. And that's what we're working on, is to have our lives to where we are saint. We become a saint, become just in God's eyesight. Meet, qualify for God, whatever he has for us, you know. If it's in this natural life, we like to see it, the church restored in our lifetime. Evidently, that's what most of the ministers that, when I came among these people, was looking at. They was looking at the church, restoration of the church in their lifetime. And it may not happen in our lifetime. I can look back and see some of the time charts they used and some of the things that they was going by. Dates that they used has come and gone. But I know that they were looking for that in their lifetime. But we can just serve God and try to fit in his lifestyle, his time frame. You know, I don't want to try to draw up a chart. I know you can do that, but and figure out some schedule that I think things may happen in. But just be open to the Lord and try to live for him regardless. Of what, you know, the figures may be, you know, whatever, you know, somebody might come up with some figures of when they think the church will be restored or when they think the Battle of Armageddon or all these things. It's interesting, and I like to talk about it myself, but I want to try to be ready, you know, try to live my life and try to be to where I can allow these things to work in my life. To have patience, God's spirit in my life, and be able to be submitted enough to God to where it can help me. I want to be open enough to the Lord to where he can do whatever it needs to be done in my life. I want to be able to see, like, you know, we read, it really, I think about the early church and the Jewish people. Brother Smith was covering a lot of it today in a Bible study, and then how that they were so, you know, God had to have a law, you know, for them to live by, but somehow, I mean, I guess to get to people, to even get a church to where we are today, you know, he had to have the law, but the laws, they got tripped up by the law, you know what I mean? They got so steeped in the law until when Jesus came, very few of them recognized who he was, you know, who Christ was, and they were God's people. They were Jewish people that had the law given to them, the ordinances that God gave, and God sent his son, you know, to his people first of all. But they didn't recognize. They couldn't see him. And that kind of it disturbed me because, you know, we live in a day where we got religion all around us. People going to church, people are working for God, and if you're going to go out and talk to people, just yesterday morning I'm glad we went to the meeting in Batesville, by the way, and we was leaving, Brother Daniels and Brother Mike Crafton, and we went through this intersection down here at University and Colonel Glenn or Asher, and on one corner, there was a man selling Muslim newspapers, and on this corner where we were at, it was a man talking on a battery-operated speaker system where you could hear him. He was talking about, you know, Jesus, and he was talking about Muhammad. You know, he said, Muhammad can't save you. You know, we could hear him talking, but he was doing, you know, what he knew to do. He was trying to get people to know that salvation is only through Jesus. You know, we can only be saved through Christ, and he was talking on this corner, and the other man on the other corner selling newspaper, Muslim newspapers. And I was thinking, in this world, you know, we around religious people of some sort, you know, different sorts. And how do you talk to these people? And I know, like I said, in the early church, when they came to the Jewish people, these were God's people. You know, Jesus came to them. And I guess the only way God could have done it, you know. But how do you approach people? How do you witness to people? You know, back then I was thinking when like Paul, when he was preaching, he, of course, Jesus, the message of Jesus weren't being preached in that day. You know, they were Jews and they had the law and they was God's people. But he started talking to them about Christ and telling them about a Savior that had come to this world to deliver them, you know, and to change them to be another being. You know, we're like Brother Smith, not just to witness Jesus, him visiting us in the physical state, but have him in our life, in our heart. You know, that's what we're going to have to be able to witness in this world. That's what I'm seeing. I mean, we got to have him in such a way that you know, you just can't go out here and just tell them about Jesus. They already heard it. You know, at least audibly, they've heard the word Jesus, you know. So you got to have something else. You know, you got to have more than just, you know, just telling them in, you know, in the printed material or whatever. But you got to have, what I'm seeing is, like the scripture in Romans 8, is that it talks about the creatures. It said waiting on the manifestation of the sons of God. I feel like somehow, I know we can't wait on, you know, we have to be people that are so dedicated to the Lord. It has to be a greater manifestation in the land to be able to be witnesses in such a way where, you know, to me, when I look at when Paul was preaching, like I say, there was nobody else preaching about Jesus except the early church, except the disciples of Christ. But here we are in a day where you hear about Jesus all around you. So what are you going to tell the people? You can tell them about Jesus. Somebody else already told them about it. So you got to have something greater than just a verbal witness about Jesus. We got to end up being people that are manifesting Jesus. That's what I'm seeing. I mean, you got to have more than just words in this life that we're living in. And you got to have more than, you know, we got to be able to be, we're going to eventually have to be people that are manifesting Jesus to the world. Not that we're just talking about him, you know, but our lives are going to have to be in such a way that they're going to have to be able to see Jesus. Not that we want to be showing Jesus to them and then to show ourselves, but we're going to have to live to where he's going to be brought forth. He's going to come forth. That's what I'm saying. I want to see that in the people. You know, I know we're going to have to be so dedicated to the Lord and our lives given in such a way. You know, we're working on that. I believe that this people, and it's going to come about in this time frame. You know, I like to see it happen sooner. I may not live to see it, but I like to see it happen because I know that's what it's, I feel like that's what it's going to take. It is God's manifestation in his children, in his people, when they be able to not just, you know, like I say, I've been around people, you know, saying this, you know, even bragging about the Lord, you know, boasting about the Lord, and that's, you know, we should be bold enough to even if that was necessary. I remember this man used to say he stood up, you know, on a truck stop one time, like a restaurant, a truck stop, and just start witnessing to the people, you know, verbally. And I feel like we should have that kind of boldness. But I don't know if the Lord, whatever it is, I think it need to be in tune with the Lord. You need to be, you know, if that's what God wants you to do. Because you remember Brother Dye that used to come here? He came here a few times, and I was working downtown at the time. I was taking a break, and I walked by this man, and he was talking. I could hear him a block away. He was talking about Jesus, and he was walking across in front of like a bus stop, and he He was talking to these people. They were waiting on a bus. But he wasn't making eye contact with them. He was just pacing back and forth in front of them, talking about the Lord and talking about them needing to be saved. And I thought, man, he's bold. He's bold. But you know what we should have? We should have that boldness. I'm not saying that's what we should do, but I think we should be bold people. I should be able to get up and do that if that was necessary. I don't know if that's necessary, but I believe that we're going to have to eventually be people of God that will be able to do whatever the Lord would ask of us to do. And that's what I want to do. I want to be willing to work for the Lord and do whatever the Lord would have me to do. I want to be available. And I do appreciate having going to the meeting up in Batesville and see some of the Batesville folks here. And that's what the meetings are for, is to be a blessing to each assembly and try to leave a blessing. So I feel like that was a blessing. I remember some things Brother Sutton Miller said about the body of Christ. He said that there's three things that the body of Christ, I'm trying to say how he said it, but anyway, it's like that has been deposited in his life that he got is he learned that we have to have understanding and we have to have wisdom and knowledge. Three important things that you can get that we've received from this group of people is having being taught, you know, that we need understanding and we need wisdom and we need knowledge. And I know in order for us to be able to just get out here in this religious world and mingle with people and to not get entangled with the world, with the religious world, we have to have understanding. We have to have wisdom. We have to have knowledge. And it's really a relief to be able to, that's how, you know, you can be able to mingle with people. I'm, you know, my folks, they all pretty much church people. We've got some of the younger ones that maybe not, but I'm from a big family, so they all go to church and they all involved in church activities. And I don't try to persuade them either way, you know, but they know. I've had a couple of sisters come here visit with us a long time ago, but I know that it's gonna, what I'm seeing, I'm telling you how I feel about it. It's gonna take God doing something in us, you know. I like to witness to them. I love them and appreciate what they do, you know, their dedication to God. But they are. It's almost like they're trapped, you know, and like I can't help them. But I know that in God's time, you know, He'll you know, if we keep working for Him, you know, in His time, whatever He got going on for us, whatever God has for us, if we keep working for Him and keep, you know, being open to Him, let Him help us. And I feel that among these people that we're serving God in a way. I appreciate our minister, Brother Smith, is helping us. He's you know, encouraging us, wanting us to be diligent about the things of God and His Word, study it, and seeking God, you know, for our lives and for everything, because we have to be able to. I was thinking about that this morning about, you know, when we were walking, this Brother Sutmiller said this yesterday about the, you know, this is a church, but he called it, this is a work. It's a work. And I was thinking this morning, some of the things that Brother Smith was talking about it, we don't always, we know this is a walk of faith, so we don't always know what's going to, we do know, we can read the back of the book and know that God's people are going to win, but we don't know really who they are. You know, we don't know if we're going to fit there. So we have to do what we have to do for ourselves to be able to be a part of that winning group. You know what I'm saying? It's a, between now and then, there's a lot of things that's going to be going on. So I'm going to have to be able to work. I have to work through that. I have to be able to work through that with God and have faith in God that He'll help me. to be able to get through whatever I'm going to have to face. You know, I know if I'm, I know God's people are going to be winners. You know, they're going to be, they're going to, you know, we can see that in the back of the book, they won. You know, it's a battle, you know, not so much with the devil, but it's a battle, you know, with ourselves mainly. Who that said that? Just, it's a battle with ourselves. And we know that the people that the battle is going to be God's, he's going to win. But I want to be in that. I want to be a part of the winning side. And because I know you can get sidetracked. You can get blinded. You can get your name blotted out. So a lot of things can happen to you between now and then. You know, and that's the part that it takes faith. It takes us having to work with God, not knowing altogether how God want to do it, but be willing to work with God and with his ministry. You know, be able to be willing. And that's what I say, well, I don't know how this is going to work. But I want to be willing to work with God and work with the ministry. Be at least humble enough to be able to listen, you know, and work in God's cause. This is the work. We're going to have to work it. I'm going to have to work it out with God in my life. The things that's in my life, I'm not perfect, so I'm going to have to work with God. As he worked with me, I'm going to have to work with him and allow him to work out things in my life that are not like him. I'm going to have to be like him. So the things that are not like him, I'm going to have to be patient enough to let him work with me and I work with him. And so I appreciate being among a people that are searching God. It's sometimes it gets a little scary, a little you know, you don't know altogether what's going to happen, but there you go. We have to be able to seek the Lord and depend on him. And you know, like they say about men, they don't like to ask for direction. You know, they had a percentage on men that travel. They'll drive 30 minutes before they'll finally pull over and ask for direction. I fit in that category. And you know, comparing men with women, you know, women, they'll quickly ask for direction, but men don't. And but anyway, they want to figure it out. But I want to, whatever necessary to me for me to change on whatever I'm doing to help me to be able to get directions from the Lord for my life, to know where to go or what I need to be doing. So I want to be that open, that humble enough to be able to ask, you know, humble myself before God under his mighty hand and ask Lord what I need to do. So I'm thankful tonight. I have a thankful heart for what the Lord is doing, and I'm just thankful to be a part of people that are searching the Lord and living. This is a good life. We was talking about being blessed today in the service. You know, I'm blessed even to be among God's people and to be found. You know, I've heard things, Honorable Brother Tucker, you know, about, you know, sometimes we get on you can compare this like a vehicle that somebody said you can hang on the sides. You know, they talk about these cars that had running boards and stuff that people used to just kind of hang on and ride them, you know, because maybe the fool didn't have room for everybody. Somebody had to just hang on. But sometimes, you know, it get kind of rough. So I don't want to just hang on. You know, he used to tell us that, you know, when you, it's like a wheel, you know, you need to get in close, because if you're on the edges, you might get slung off. You know, he used to tell us that. And he said, well, the best thing to do is get up close. You know, get close to your pastor. Get close to the minister. And get close to God. You know, you don't want to get, you know, too far away from what's, you know, going on. You know, you might get, and I've seen, you know, people get slung off. I've seen that happen. And it can happen. That's the thing. You know, sometimes you can get comfortable and say, well, everything is going good. And it may be, but I don't want to drift off and get too far away from what's going on and what the Lord is doing, and try to stay in tune with the Lord and with the ministry, and to get close enough to where I can stay on the vine, stay with the Lord. So I'm thankful for what God is doing, and thankful for his goodness that he's shown us, and I'm blessed, and I know you're blessed to be among God's people, and to hear what we hear about the Lord and the gospel. I want to be able to, you know, I can just hear this with my natural ears and not hear it spiritually. But I want to be able to hear it both ways. I want to hear it as long as my ears are working with my natural ears. And I want to hear it spiritually. I want to be able to hear. And I want to be able to see what the Lord is doing. And I want to be able to, you know, let him do work in my life. And I know those, you know, things can happen to us. So I don't, just in the natural out here, they tell you to, you know, do certain things, eat certain things to keep away certain diseases and things that can happen to you. And we, you know, I'm sure we do the best we can with that. But even spiritually, you know, we have to do things to help us to be able to live better spiritually, you know, to be able to, the things that we feed on, you know, they say you are what you eat. So if you are what you eat naturally, you probably are what you eat spiritually. So if I begin to feed on things to help me spiritually, then I can be a better person if I feed on the right things, be able to help my life. So I'm just so thankful tonight to be a part of what God is doing.
Many pews that wasn't taken. I thought it was really nice, and it was a real good meeting. There was lots of good things said. It was just really a good uplifting meeting, and Brother Harrington seemed to be very pleased. I was thinking what Brother Talley was talking about, different ways, and I'm so thankful that we're taught the right way, and we have searched in this church. There's people that's come from all walks of life of churches. We was hunting for the real truths of the Lord, and we have been led here by his Spirit. And I know my experience. I know that I was led to these people. I was just a young person, and just 17 to be exact. But I'm so thankful that we're concerned of what the Bible really means and what is the right way. We got our paper this week, and I was looking at it. And, you know, there's churches on every corner. They're just all different kinds. It's just springing up like weeds, you know. And I looked at my paper, and there it said that they're taking the Lord's Supper now by telephone. I told my husband, I said, my goodness, isn't that something? That is terrible. And then we was going to listen to the news to see what the news was, the weather yesterday. And there was a lady minister, I won't call her name, but she was preaching. And he let it stay on for just a few minutes. And I said, turn that off. I got all I can take of, you know. But the thing about it, the reason that I was just kind of agitated about it, she said there was 1,500 people there and showed the great congregation. And I'm not telling this now to throw off. I'm just going to tell you how degenerate that salvation is getting to be out there. You know, it's going down, 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 you know. And we're thankful because that the Lord, we was honest-hearted. We wanted the real reality of God, and God has given us to us. But anyway, she was telling all these people that's not, instead of having an altar service for them to come up and to be saved, she prayed the prayer and had them to pray it after her. The whole congregation repeated after her. She said, now you're saved.
I thought, oh my goodness, I said, Harlan, turn it off. I just can't take no more of that. I just can't take no more. And it made me to appreciate the things of God that we're, not that we are big-headed about this, but look, when you find something real, it's something to be treasured. And I treasure this. I really do, because, I mean, any time that you find truth, that's better than something false. And so I just thought, Lord, no wonder that we know that that we will be persecuted for the truth that we have. And when we live like Brother Talley was talking about, how that we to live like the Lord and really live a dedicated life, well, that condemns people that don't try to live right. And then when people is condemned, sometimes they'll come against you, especially if you're saying something that's different than what they're used to. But when I seen this in the paper, I thought, Lord, that is something terrible. To think that the Word of God, how that is taken and falsely used, and all, and then for this lady to do what she was doing, it made me so thankful that the Lord thought enough of me that He give me a chance to come this way and to hear the words of life that will give me something to make me to cause me to want to strive. And I do. I really treasure this way. I love this way. And I know it's not easy on the flesh, but after all, that's got to go anyway. And so, you know, I thought how that we talk, of course, we mostly talk among ourselves, but if we have opportunity to talk to other people, we do so. But about the Word of God and what it means to us. And people, sometimes they don't understand why we talk so much about the Lord and the good things that we've got, because you don't hear that everywhere. But it's something, as I said, it's something to be treasured. And every day I hear or see or something that makes me to more appreciate the things of God and how that He's leading us, and how that our ministers are being more dedicated to get to dig into the Word of God and give us the real kernel of the Word of God, something that will cause us to be stable in the Word of God and to really be what we ought to be. And of course, we know, we've heard it said many times, that the only God that a lot of people will see is in our lives. And if we don't present it to them, then they don't see. But as they say, the old saying is, put your money where your mouth is. That's what we've got to do. We know to live like we are supposed to. And so, and I know if I miss it, I feel a condemnation. And I'm thankful for that, because I know that we're to toe the mark. We're to be real and genuine for the Lord. And then that influences people, because we don't know. When people is around us, we don't realize that they're studying us. And some would like to have what we got. And of course, there's people that couldn't care less. But we're to be real examples in every way. And I know when I... of course, I was just a young person when I met these people. But the minister and his wife that come to us, I admired them. I seen something in their lives that... and of course, in my young days, people was more... they lived closer to the Lord than a lot of people do now. They was more dedicated and all. And but these people, I seen something in them that I thought, well, I want that in my life. And they begin to teach us of the Word of God and something that was different. And this makes me think, too, of a brother yesterday that was from the Memphis church, a new brother that's come into the church. And he testified and told us how that he appreciated this people, and said, when I come to the Memphis church, said, I heard things that said people I've never heard it before. Said, I just never heard nothing like this before. And said, it was so wonderful. But said, I come and I heard, and it just overwhelmed me. And said, I went home and I stayed out of church for a little while. I guess he was chewing on what he had heard. And he said, I had to come back after some more. He said, this is so wonderful. He was so thrilled. And I thought, brother, where you're at now is where we was at. You know, that's the way we felt. When we come around this people, it was different. And the world thinks because that we are so different that this is something that's cropped up new. But what they've got is new. And what we've got, this is old as God himself. So this is nothing new. This is the real thing. This, as someone said, this is the real McCoy. But anyway, I thought how that we are going to have to really, really stand our ground, really live up to the mark, because there's people that's hungry, and they study our lives. We might not think they're even watching us, but you'd be surprised at people, they watch us, and in other words, to see what makes us tick. And they see that we've got something and we're holding on to something. So tonight, that's my desire, is to be an example. I mean, not to show out or anything like that, but be real and genuine and all. Because I tell you, I believe in this. I mean, I'm not very smart, but I tell you what, I believe in this. I love it. And I appreciate the Lord that he dealt with me and at a young age and let me to see this way. And I treasure every nugget that I get. And I try hard to listen and to learn and to get it in my soul so that I can have it there. And when I need it, just when I'm talking to someone, that the Holy Ghost will prompt that and let it work. So tonight, I appreciate the Lord, and I thank him for this wonderful truth that we're learning every time that we come to church and to be led by his Spirit. And I long for the time, Brother Smith, that we as people of God can be prompted by his Spirit and be led by his Spirit, because that's the thing that we need to do. So tonight, I appreciate him highly.
The way you've led me, oh, so patiently, from chains of sin that bound my soul, you came and tenderly unlocked them all. And now I know, at last, dear Lord, I'm free. Down deep in my heart, for every time your blessings have rained and the glory has flooded my soul, for every trial and each test, dear Lord, you've brought me through. I've needed them all to make me worthy, my dear Lord, of you. Sometimes I fail to understand the things that are best for me. My feet may stumble and my eyes, Lord, may not always see. Please keep your hand upon my life and always let me be thankful, Lord, for saving my soul and keeping your hand on me. I thank you, Lord, for every truth you've planted down deep in my heart, for every time your blessings have rained and the glory has flooded my soul, for every trial and each test, dear Lord, you've brought me through. I've needed them all to make me worthy, my dear Lord, of you. I thank you, Lord, for everything that you have done for me. I thank you for the way you led me, oh, so patiently, from chains of sin that bound my soul. You came and tenderly unlocked them all, and now I know at last, dear Lord, I'm free. I thank you, Lord, for every truth you've planted down deep in my heart, for every time your blessings have rained and the glory has flooded my soul, for every trial and each test, dear Lord, you've brought me through. I've needed them all to make me worthy, my dear Lord, of you. Though I should give my life, dear Lord, and suffer for your name, though I should turn aside from wealth and shun all worldly fame, the price I've paid, I know, my Lord, could never be enough to pay the debt I owe to you for such undying love. I thank you, Lord, for every truth you've planted down deep in my heart, for every time your blessings have rained and the glory has flooded my soul, for every trial and each test, dear Lord, you've brought me through. I've needed them all to make me worthy, my dear Lord, of you. I thank you, Lord, for every truth you've planted down deep in my heart, for every time your blessings have rained and the glory has flooded my soul, for every trial and each test, dear Lord, you've brought me through. I've needed them all to make me worthy, my dear Lord, of you. Though I should give my life, dear Lord, and suffer for your name, though I should turn aside from wealth and shun all worldly fame, the price I've paid, I know, my Lord, could never be enough to pay the debt I owe to you for such undying love. I thank you, Lord, for every truth you've planted down deep in my heart, for every time your blessings have rained and the glory has flooded my soul, for every trial and each test, dear Lord, you've brought me through. I've needed them all to make me worthy, my dear Lord, of you. Sometimes I fail to understand the things that are best for me. My feet may stumble and my eyes, Lord, may not always see. Please keep your hand upon my life and always let me be. Thank you. Lord, for saving my soul and keeping your hand on me. I thank you, Lord, for every truth you've planted down deep in my heart. For every time your blessings have rained and the glory has flooded my soul. For every trial and each test, dear Lord, you've brought me through. I've needed them all to make me worthy, my dear Lord, of you. I thank you, Lord, for every truth you've planted down deep in my heart. For every time your blessings have rained and the glory has flooded my soul. For every trial and each test, dear Lord, you've brought me through. I've needed them all to make me worthy, my dear Lord, of you.
Those words in that song that says, for every trial and each test, Lord, you put me through. Those words are so true, although they're so hard to take sometimes. It seems like not only us, but I know there's some other families that made the Republic Transit down here, went through some struggles financially and physically, and sometimes I just complain. There's no other word. I complain to the Lord sometimes. Lord, you know, we made this big sacrifice to move down here. but I feel that way sometimes, but I know that's the wrong spirit, so I have to make myself get out of that. But I can't be honest. I have to say that I do feel that sometimes. But, you know, in hindsight, you look back and you see where the Lord's brought you through all of it. When I got home the other day, I was looking through the bills, and I told Doug, I said, these taxes have got to be paid. We've just kind of been putting them off all summer long and keep thinking, okay, well, maybe next month, maybe next month. Well, the money was never there. And I saw this envelope from our car payment company. And my first thought that came to mind was, oh, gosh,